Chapter 22. But a few days later, Tiberias again defected. For the residents of the city of the Tiberians had written to King Agrippa with an appeal for him to send a force to protect their country, since they wanted to attach themselves to him. But although they wrote these things to him, when I came to them, they wanted me to build walls for them in fulfillment of my promise. Now they had heard that Tarikea had already been enwalled. Therefore, I agreed, and having prepared everything necessary for building, I directed the architects to begin work. But on the third day, as I was making my way to Tarikea, which is 30 stadia away from Tiberias, some Roman cavalry were sighted on the march not far from the city. And since Agrippa did not arrive at the appointed time, which was this day, this created an impression that the royal force was approaching. Accordingly, the Tiberians immediately, indeed, let loose cries full of praises for the king, but curses upon me. And they issued a proclamation excluding me from the city. And a certain man immediately ran over to me at Tarikea, bringing me a message describing their disposition toward me, that they had determined to defect from me. Now when I heard this, I was very disturbed, for I had already dismissed all my heavy-armed soldiers from Tarikea to their homes to forage grain, because the next day was a Sabbath. For I did not want the Tarikeans to be harassed by a multitude of soldiers. Accordingly, whenever I dwelt among them, I never made provision for the protection of my own body, having received so many proofs of the inhabitants' faithfulness. But since my present company was comprised of only 7 heavy armed soldiers and some friends, I was at a loss what to do. For I could neither go out alone to face the insurgents, nor afford to remain idle. I was reluctant to recall my force, since the present day was almost spent. For even if it had arrived, it would have been impossible for them to take up arms on the following day, since the restrictions of the laws prevented us from taking action on a Sabbath, despite the urgency of the apparent necessity. But if, on the other hand, I were to permit the Tarikeans and the foreigners among them to turn back in order to seize the city, I would have found my force insufficient. I also would have found my delay to be far too long, because the royal force would have profited by it and entered the city ahead of me. And I expected them to prevent me from entering, and that I would be excluded from the city. Therefore, I took counsel on whether to use some sort of stratagem in order to circumvent the insurgents. So, indeed, I immediately directed the gates of Tarikea to be shut, to prevent any information about my scheme from reaching my targets in advance. I also posted my most trusted friends at the gates in order to keep a strict watch on anyone who wanted to leave. Then, I collected all the boats which I could find on the lake, which numbered 230. And I summoned the heads of families and directed each of them to launch a boat and to embark with no more than 4 sailors in each, including a steersman, and to follow me to the city of the Tiberians. So I myself, along with my friends and the 7 heavy-armed soldiers previously mentioned, embarked, quickly setting sail for Tiberias. But when I was nearing, I also kept far enough away from the city to prevent the Tiberians from easily detecting that my ships had no men on board. Indeed, I directed the steersman to cast anchor at some distance from the land, letting them float around on the offing, while I myself, with only 7 of my bodyguards, unarmed, advanced closely so as to be seen. But when the Tiberians understood that a force had not arrived from the king, but saw the whole lake full of ships, they became anxious about the city. And when my rivals, who were still reviling me, saw me from the walls and believed that the vessels were full of heavy-armed marines, they were filled with consternation and completely changed their intentions. Therefore, throwing down their weapons, they came out to meet me with their women and little ones. And imagining that I did not know about their intentions, they showered me with acclamations and waving branches of supplication. They besought me to spare the city. Now I drew near in one of the boats and began to severely threaten and reprimand the people. Indeed, first for their folly, that after taking up arms against the Romans, they would waste their strength beforehand on seditions among their own kinsmen, and so fulfill their enemies' greatest desires. Then I reprimanded them for their readiness to abandon their faithfulness to me, the protector of their security, without any righteous excuse whatever, and their shamelessness in closing their city to me, the very man who had enwalled it. But even still, despite these things, I promised them that I was ready to forgive them in the time to come, if they would send me 10 of the multitude's foremost men to apologize for their actions, and through whom I might secure the city. Now they readily accepted this proposal, and they sent me those 10 most powerful men of Tiberias, who came down to me. And these I indeed took on board one of the vessels and sent them far off to be kept under guard at Tarikaa. But I required 50 more to come forward, the most notable men of the council, as if I were intending to give them a pledge for their security. Then, inventing one new pretext after another, I called forth one party after another, as if to ratify the agreement. Now, I directed the steersmen of the boats, which had been filled in this manner, to quickly set sail to Tarikaa and to confine these men in prison. Now in the end, by this stratagem, I indeed arrested the whole council of 600 members, but also about 2,000 of the principal men of the populace, and shipped them off to Tarikaa, part by part. But when the multitude who remained saw into what great ruin they had come, they kept shouting that the one primarily responsible for the defection was a certain man named Kleitos, a youth who was both audacious and reckless. And they kept urging me to wreak vengeance and to fix my anger upon this author of the defection. Now, I was indeed determined to do away with no one, for I did not consider it pious to kill a man who was a compatriot. But facing the necessity to chastise him, I ordered one of the bodyguards around me, named Levi, to step forward and cut off Kleitos' hands. But this man, despite being directed to do this, became anxious to step forward alone into such a swarming multitude of enemies, and declared,
"No."
I did not want the soldiers' anxiety to be obvious to the Tiberians, so I called to Kleitos himself, saying,
"Since you deserve to have both your hands cut off for your ungratefulness to me, be your own executioner, so that you will not suffer a more terrible retribution."
Now, since Kleitos could see me on the boat, fuming about the setback, and prepared to leap out myself in order to exact vengeance, he repeatedly implored me from the shore to spare him one of his hands. I grudgingly consented to this, on the condition that he cut off the other himself. So, in order to prevent the loss of both, he gladly drew his saber with his right hand and cut off the left. Such was the degree of terror into which I had led him. And this action brought the sedition to an end. This was indeed how, on this occasion, I captured the populace and again brought Tiberias back to myself with empty ships and 7 spearmen. Now, once I arrived in Tarikaa, the Tiberians perceived the type of generalship which I had employed against them, and they were awestruck at how I had ended their foolishness without bloodshed. But now, I sent for those of the Tiberian multitude who were in prison. Now, among these were Eustos and his father, Pistos, and I made them my dinner guests. And after the banquet, I said to them, "I myself know very well that the power of the Romans is surpassing everything. However, I have kept quiet about it because of the brigands. Now I also counseled them to do the same, to wait patiently for the proper time, and not to become intolerant with me as their general, for they would not be able to easily find someone else who is as mild as myself. But I also reminded Eustos that before I came along from Jerusalem, the Galileans had cut off his brother's hands on an accusation of forging documents prior to the war. And also how, following Philippos's withdrawal, the Gamalites had risen against the Babylonians and disposed of Philippos's relative, Chares. And how they had, with greater moderation, chastised Yeshua, that man's brother and the husband of Eustace's sister. These were the things I discussed with Eustace's party after the banquet. In the morning, I directed that all the prisoners should be released.